Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the PRF table. I'm your host, Brother Dunlap. We also have with us hosting Sister Adia Sanders. How are you doing this evening, cousin?
I'm doing great.
I'm glad to hear that. Our other host, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who've been with us before, Brother Feaster, he'll be on at probably about 8:30. And what we're going to do tonight, we are really continuing on from a conversation we started last week, and last week we had an awesome guest that came and blessed us with their presence, Paula Brooks, the author of Stop Paying Tithes, and it just seemed like the right thing to do because sometimes you cannot get all that God wants to get out in a short period of time. So with that, what we had to make sure that we did was to invite her back for one more time, and if God says bring her back another time, then we'll do just what God says to do. So with that, Sister Adia, if you'd like to just give us a recap of where we are from last week to this week, what's been going on in your life, tell the people how you've been doing and what's been going on with this subject of tithing that we've been on for the last couple of weeks.
All right. Well, thank you, Nate, just for this opportunity. It has been such a blessing, you know, the topic of stop paying tithes. It is amazing to see and hear and read about the number of Christians that really have a misconception of what stop paying tithes means. I got a lot of feedback, positive feedback. Some of it was a little comical about stop paying tithes. But I will tell you, on last week's show, we got into some issues to where we talked about the mindset of Christians. We talked about the attitude of Christians as it took in reference to paying tithes, and how we as Christians, we don't pay God anything. He is not a bill collector. He is a God who loves us, who has given us the resources to have the finances that we have. He has blessed us with the jobs, but God is not a bill collector, so we don't pay him anything. But with a cheerful heart, we give to God. So as our wonderful guest, Paula, so graciously informed us of, is that when we have an attitude of thankfulness, an attitude and a heart to give to God, when we are giving our tithes, we will give with such an innocence that we will never, ever have to question if we are going to give our tithes or if we're going to pay our bills, because the two cannot be compared. You cannot put giving in the same room with paying a bill. Because when you give, you are doing it out of the kindness and out of the love of your heart, because you realize that there are no strings attached, that we don't give to look for something in return. However, right, the thing is with God, him being so wonderful and gracious to us, that in Malachi, he tells us that when we give our tithes and our offering, that he will open up a window from heaven and pour us out blessing that we will not have room enough to receive. So in our giving of our tithes, there's a blessing to that, you know, and I believe that God gives us a condition. If you do these things, the blessing on that is that this is what I will do for you. And to know that we serve a God who will bless us with the job so that we can give 10% and still have the 90% to live off of, I think that is such, that just shows the love of God. And I don't know anyone or anything that could ever compare to the Father. It was also just also a blessing to hear Paula talk about how she gave. And even as a child, she was always a giver. And how when people, our leaders, can say things that can basically challenge the very being of who we are, and we can take on a mindset, we can literally take on the mindset to where we were once given from our heart, to where now it's almost burdensome. But in our giving, there's value to it. So I just ask that everybody just listen with an open heart and hear what God is saying to you and be challenged on today. If you have used the words that you are paying your tithe, be challenged today to change how you talk, referring to the things of God. Because unless you are looking for a bill to come in the mail to let you know about how much you owe for your how much you owe for your tithes, and unless you really want to experience the blessings that God has for you, I encourage everybody on tonight to sit back, strap on your seatbelt, relax, because we're going to go on a ride, and we're going to learn about the miseducation of Malachi. Thank you so much, Nate.
Go ahead, Adig. My cousin, she just got it. I don't know if anybody understands where I'm coming from, but you got it, cousin. You know, one of the things that I'll just talk a little bit about last week is before we call Paula or allow Paula to speak with us, words matter, and I think I may have mentioned this a little bit last week. It does matter what words we use, and as you were talking, Adia, I just thought about those who think that words do not matter, and I can say as a Christian, we're always talking about the word of God, the words of God, the word of God. So if words don't matter, why are we always talking about the word? That seems to contradict itself. It's kind of like comical to even believe that words do not matter, except when we want to use certain words and do not want to use certain other words. And I also thought about when you were talking to Dia, in this context of words, if I say that I love somebody and then I say that I hate somebody, that's going to cause two different reactions to people. If I say that I like you and I say that I love you, if I say, you know what, I tell my oldest child, I like her, and I tell my youngest child, I love her, they're going to have two different perceptions of how daddy loves them, how daddy feels about them. So one of the things that Brother Feaster said, which you brought it out, he posted last week on the page, we must allow ourselves to be challenged. We must not allow ourselves to be closed-minded. We will not reach a point where we are to stop learning about and from God. So as we get ready to go into this show and just go full force ahead, on the miseducation of Malachi, I agree with you, Sister Sanders, that we must be open. And I remember I saw something on somebody's page. Matter of fact, it was today. And I believe that this person has their mind made up about tithing. This is what it says, meaning the Bible. God says this is what needs to happen, and that's it. And I think it was your page, Adia, where you were trying to encourage the person just to listen. My response was this. If we ever get to a point as a Christian, as a man or woman of God, as a child of the King, where we cannot learn anything, then we can't be used. If we ever get to that point where we cannot learn anything new, we cannot learn anything additional, then we can no longer be used. Because none of us have reached that plateau. With all the education, formal education that I have still not reached that plateau where I know everything. And I'm humble enough and wise enough to say that I don't know everything. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, have a seat at the table. If you want to join into the conversation, we encourage you, press 1 on your dial pad. If something is said that you're not understanding, if it's something that's said that you don't agree with, you still have a place at the PRF table, because this is a place where everybody's voice matters. Everybody's opinion matters. What we're presenting tonight, what God has spoken through our guest, Paula Brooks, it is her experience that she's speaking from, and I say this constantly. And I speak from my experience, what I've seen and what I've heard, and so does Sister Sanders and Brother Feaster. So with that, Sister Brooks, how are you doing this evening?
I'm wonderful. How are you guys? I'm excited about this evening because I believe that God is opening the hearts of people to receive what His Word says. So I'm excited.
Thank you very much. So let's go ahead and just get started. When we left off from last week, and for those who weren't able to be with us last week and have a seat at the table, we encourage everybody to go and listen through the archives on Blog Talk Radio. So if you go to the We Speak Radio Network on the Blog Talk Radio and you find the PRF table, the title of last week's show was Stop Paying Tithes, and that was really just to coincide with the author of your book. And we got so much just from an introduction, but it was really, really necessary that we had you back this week and really talked about Malachi. And I think it was real interesting that you said, you know, can we talk about Malachi next week? And the reason that was interesting is because when we first started talking about tithing about 4 or 5 weeks ago, that scripture was the first one. And then this is what my thought process is, Paula. All throughout the Bible, we see several different instances where God is repeating himself to his people. And it's amazing that if God repeats himself to the people, then evidently that means there is something of value that he's trying to get across to the people. So you not being with us 4 or 5 weeks ago and you having it in your heart or God placing it in your heart that we need to talk about Malachi, that's the type of atmosphere that we have on the PRF table. So we just flow with it, and everybody who's been with us before knows that's just how we do. So let's just go right into it. If you can, we'll just let you start off the show. You know, where do you want to start talking about Malachi and on the subject of the miseducation?
Let's see. Malachi has been a book that's been preached over and over and over. And regardless to what church I go to or what congregation I'm amongst, it's always referred to very similarly. All leaders and Christians alike, we claim that God said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. And we always start with Malachi chapter 3. In verse 10, with no reference to the initial parts of the book of Malachi. And Malachi is such a small book, it baffles me as to why no one ever visits Malachi chapter 1 or chapter 2. And being that it's such a small book, I was reminded during my studies that that book was speaking to one specific group of people. And all my life I've been told, all my Christian life I've been told that God was speaking to his children. He was talking to the Israelites. Well, upon my studies, when God first led me to Malachi, prior to writing the book, I was just studying the subject of tithing because tithing was an issue for me in the church. I had been giving and giving and giving, and once my concept changed from giving to paying, I began to be troubled by the burden of it. And so God took me to where the pastors had initially brought me to teach me about his tithe. And when I opened my book of Malachi to Malachi 3 and 10, God said, no, go to the first book. So I turned the pages and I opened to chapter 1. And the first book of Malachi says, first verse, it says, an oracle, the word of the Lord, to Israel through Malachi. Well, I'm reading currently from the Life Application Study Bible, and for that reason, I'd like to get my King James Version because it tells a little bit different. It's a different introduction, and it actually tells you in the King James Version who God was speaking to. So, if you all will give me a moment to get my King James Version.
Sure thing.
I'll be right with you.
And while you're doing that, you know, this is what I was hearing. Context is important, and anybody who knows me knows that I'm always preaching and teaching on the subject and the validation of context. If you start off at Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, and have no idea what God said through that prophet, through that man of God, through the messenger, in verse 7, or how it relates to verse 11 and verse 12, then that's a thing of miseducation. That's a thing of ignorance. We all have a choice. You can either be the type of Christian who just takes what somebody gives you as a scripture
and run with it, says that is it, that's what the Bible says, or you can take what somebody says and tells you what the Bible says without even going to look for it for yourself if you don't feel comfortable about what it is. You have that option to do that. What we're advocating on the PRF table, what I advocate when I preach, what I advocate when I teach, is that we be smarter than that. Because, see, we're living in the day and time right now. We're living in the day and time right now where individuals cannot just tell us something, especially those of us in the 20 to 45 age range. You just can't tell us something, and we automatically believe that that is just it without having any type of justification behind it. We hear all the time, especially in the church, about studying. Study the word. Study the word to show thyself approved. Even though that was a pastoral epistle, not for everybody, but for the pastoral epistle. So anyway, we hear that all the time. Study, study, study. And then when you get individuals that say, okay, let me go ahead and study, then that's where some of these problems come in at. Because people don't know how to respond. People don't know how to answer some of the questions. So, Paul, if you're ready, I'll just be quiet and let you go ahead and take it from there.
Okay, great. Okay. The first verse in Malachi chapter 1, it does say, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. So God was sending Malachi, his prophet, to speak to the people of Israel. As we go on to verse 6 in that same chapter, and I'm not skipping over, I'm just saying who he was speaking to in different instances. But if we want to be precise, God said to the children of Israel, I've loved you, said the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, said the Lord, yet I love Jacob. And God was saying there that although there are many people in here, I love you, Israel. So he goes on in verse 6, and he speaks precisely to the priest, and it mentions the sins of the priesthood. He says,
right.
The son honoreth his father, and the servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? So God was not speaking at this point to all of the Israelites. He was speaking to the priest.
That's right.
And it goes on to say, if I be a master, where is my fear, said the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name? And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? And God goes on to say, you offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil?
Yeah.
Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased? And God was saying, okay, if you bring this to a man, is he going to be pleased? Do you think that because I'm invisible, I'm a spirit, and I'm not tangible, you think I don't notice what you're doing? And this is what God was saying to his priest. He said, will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, said the Lord of hosts. So now I said that to make it clear that God was speaking to the priest in the first book of Malachi, letting them know that he was aware that they were bringing him the lame animals and the blind, and they were bringing him the things that they didn't want.
Mm.
When we go on to chapter 2 of Malachi, the first verse says, and now, O ye priests, once again, the commandment is for you. So now, being that we notice in chapter 1, God was speaking to the priest. Again in chapter 2, God was speaking to the priest. We're going to move on to chapter 3 and see who he was talking to.
All
because
right.
God, he's not confused.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 1 in chapter 3, it says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like full of soap. And he shall sit at a as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. So now, when I read sons of Levi, I went to my Bible dictionary, and I wanted to know if he was speaking specifically to those children who were born in the bloodline of Levi. And I learned that when the Bible speaks of sons, he's meaning a body of priests, a group of priests. Hmm. So once again, here we are in Malachi chapter 3, and God is talking to the priest. So when Malachi went out to prophesy, his entire prophecy was to the priest. And the reason why, if we go back to Malachi chapter 1, we'll remember that the priests were offering God the polluted bread. They were offering him the blind for sacrifice. They were offering him the lame animals, everything that they didn't want. And they were keeping the good tithes and offerings for themselves. So when we get to Malachi verse 8, and God said, "Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me." He was not talking about us not bringing him our tithes. He was talking about the Israelites giving their tithes to the priest, because we have to remember in the Old Testament, laymen were not allowed to enter the temple. So they brought their tithes to the priest. The priest in turn took what they wanted and gave God what they wanted him to have. So God was saying to them, "Bring me all the tithes. Bring me the good and the bad. And if you think you're blessed from stealing my good, you watch and see how I bless you when you bring me everything." Mm. So when we get to Malachi chapter 10, when he says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse," that's what he meant. We can't possibly believe, although we've been told this for so long, that millions of Israelites whom God freed from Egypt, of all of those millions of people, nobody gave tithes. That's ludicrous. The Israelites were given their tithes. However, the priest was robbing God. I use in my book the analogy, if I get paid on a Friday and I go into a bank and I know I'm supposed to deposit my check into my bank account, but then I get in there and I get in line, and once I get up to the teller and I decide I don't want to deposit my check and I walk out, I'm not robbing that bank.
say that, Paula, please say that one more time. Oh, my goodness.
That's good.
Please say it again, because somebody needs to hear that.
If I get paid on a Friday and I decide to go to the bank and deposit my check like I do every other Friday, and then I get to the teller's window and I decide, you know what, I'm not gonna deposit my check this week. I wanna have some cash in my pocket. And I walk out of the bank and I go to the check cashing and cash my check. I'm not robbing the bank. I'm not robbing anybody. I just decided not to put my money in there. And that's how we do when we tithe. If we go to church and we don't tithe, it doesn't mean we're robbing God. Yet the way Malachi explained to these priests in this book here, they were robbing God, because while the Israelites were bringing their tithes to the priest and the priest was taking what they wanted, if you take something that's not yours, you're stealing and you're robbing. And I just pray that God is opening the hearts and minds of people tonight to receive what his word is saying. I pray that I'm motivating people and prompting Christians to go and study their word.
Paula, one of the things about your book that I appreciate, and we are truly hoping that others will get the book and read it for themselves. I read that in your book where you said it several times, and it may have been intentional, but I'll bring it up in case you don't recall it. You mentioned pray and study in this one section of the book where you're talking about Malachi.
Mm-hmm.
I think you mentioned it about five or six times. Pray and study. Pray and study. Pray and study. So one of the things that we like to do on the PRF table is we like to give people, those who are listening, those who choose to sit at the table with us, an opportunity for something practical. So here you have it. Practical piece number one, pray and study. But you have to make up your mind, people, to pray and to study. And this is what let me tell you what I remember. There's a gentleman by the name of, a brother by the name of Barry Black. And Barry Black used to be the chief of chaplains for the United States Navy. So I did Army chaplaincies. And I remember reading in his book, From the Hood to the Hill, he talked about how great of a mind that he actually had. He talked about a whole bunch of different things. And one of the things that just intrigued me was the fact that he said that he had the type of mind that if he heard something, he would just automatically be able to remember it. So it kind of helped him out. And then he was telling people, so he didn't really have to study as hard as some people may have had to study when he went through seminary, as he was going through the higher ranks in Navy chaplaincy. And just to give you another little piece of background about this brother, he is also currently right now, he is the chaplain for the United States Senate. So after he was over all of the chaplains in the United States Navy, he retired and took that job. Saying all that to say, I remember hearing him preach in Atlanta, and he told the people, he was talking about studying, and I'm bringing this up because the title of tonight's show is The Miseducation of Malachi, right?
Mm-hmm.
He talked about, especially for the new Christians, where do you start? A lot of times Christians will say, especially new Christians, where do I start? I'm a Christian. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my personal Lord and Savior. Where do I start with this Bible, these 66 books that you have now told me I need to know for the most part? And he said, why don't you just go to the smaller chapters? He talked about Joel. He talked about Malachi. He talked about Haggai. He talked about all these minor prophets like Malachi, these books that only have about three or four chapters. Go to 1 Peter, 2 Peter. And so there's really no excuse, and I'm going to just turn it over to you, Adi, after I drop the mic on this, but there is no excuse why people are miseducated about tithes and offering as it comes to Malachi when the book is only four chapters. I'm done, Adi. I'm done.
I'm going to piggyback off of that, Nate, and you know, I think what you said is just really key. I think sometimes we make things harder than what they really are. I think one of the aspects that's missing is that, and Paula talks about it in her book, is that we are looking or searching for a message that is going to feed our emotions. And as long as somebody will tell us something and it sounds good, we believe it. Because anytime it takes an effort on our part to have to sit down and study, especially when it comes to the Bible, because the biggest excuse that you'll hear people say, well, they use a lot of big words and these names and stuff are too long. But I believe that if we would just have an open heart to read God's word, he'll reveal to us exactly what he's saying. The way that Paula was able to read and allow the Holy Spirit, which is very key in a believer's life, which is very key for a Christian, is to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to them about what God's word is saying, because it is very true that some things we are not going to understand, or we can read something and just say, well, this is what God is saying. And I think a lot of times that we have done that so much that we've just read a scripture or a verse in the Bible. It's something as simple as the Lord is my shepherd. And, you know, we may, in our finite thinking, just think, oh my gosh, well, the Lord is a shepherd. That means that I'm like a lamb or a sheep. So that means he's going to take care of every need that I have and not understand the job of a shepherd, because we don't want to go to our word. So I think it's very important that as Christians and just as people that we need to read. And all that getting, get an understanding. The more we read, the better we will understand what God is saying, because the Holy Spirit will speak to our heart as we're reading these things, who he was talking to, and the understanding will come. And I just really think that it's important that we, you know, that we break down those barriers, that we begin to challenge ourselves and not go to church Sunday after Sunday, or, you know, on Wednesdays or wherever, whenever we may have our discipleship classes or Bible studies, and go there and leave there, leave the same way. Because then you have people who use the phrase that they're paying their tithes, or you have people who would say, the word says to come as you are, so I'm coming as I am, you know, and still think that, that our heart doesn't have to change, to still think that we can live any old kind of way, and as long as we just come as we are, that God is going to accept it, because the word tells us that he loves us, but he hates the sin. So when we, I think that when we get stuck on the cliches, when we get stuck on what pastor is saying, or elder so-and-so, or missionary this, or sister, you know, bubblegum down the street, and we don't take the time to read for ourselves, then we definitely miss the key aspects of what God is speaking to the people. Because we have seen time after time, I have experienced to where my pastor was preaching a sermon, and then I went to a church or was listening to something on the radio or on TV, and that pastor was saying the same exact thing. How is that when these two people don't even know each other? It is by the Holy Spirit. And so when we are in our word, I am just a firm believer that the word of God will illuminate itself to us, and that the understanding and the clarity that we need and that we are searching for, that he's going to get it. But a lot of times we're just lazy. We'll make time. And I know we talked about resources and our and tithing and our talents and our gifts and also with our finances. But we will make time to do everything else. I've even, you know, seen TV shows that say, well, you can do crunches in the middle. Instead, if you're watching a 30-minute TV show, if you don't have time to do crunches because of your busy schedule, when you're watching TV, do crunches during the middle of the commercial. Why can't we apply those same simple principles to the Word of God so that we can gain knowledge? Why not during the middle of a commercial crack open your Bible and read the Word and really challenge yourself to know that if you continue to read God's word, that you're going to have a desire for more, because you'll be like, oh, I didn't know that was in there. And so you'll want to read more and more and more. And the more that we desire the things of God, the more he'll reveal himself to us. But a lot of things aren't being revealed to the people of God who say they love God with all of their hearts, with all of their minds, with all of their souls, because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. And we continue to perish minute after minute, hour after hour, day after day, month after month, year after year, and we're still in the same condition that we are when we first started out in our Christian walk. And the Word of God tells us that we are to be that light, that salt, that savored, that brings flavor, to be that light so that other people can see us. And I just think that it's so important that we don't just get back to the basics of reading our Word, but that we read our word with an open heart so that we can receive what God has for us, and that to know that if he can reveal and will reveal to Paula, that he will do the same thing for us, but it's going to take us studying the word of God. It's going to take us just doing it. The only way to become a better runner, like someone told me, is to just do it. You got to run. The only way that we're going to become better Bible readers and encouragers of the word of God is by just reading it and allowing God to do the rest of what needs to be done in our lives, because he's going to do it.
And Paul, I have a question too, and maybe you can answer this. You know, as you referred to this whole notion of robbing God, which was, let's say that, shall a man rob God? And you gave us the illustration about the bank robbery. It was not the people for those who were just tuning in that were robbing God, but it was the priests who were robbing God because they were not doing the right thing by the tithes and offerings that was being provided by the people, correct?
That's correct. That's absolutely right. You know, I meet so many pastors since I've written this book, and amazingly, they become my friends, contrary to the title.
That's God working.
Exactly. One pastor, he called me, and I was utterly amazed. He wanted to meet with me and talk about the book. So I met with him at a coffee shop, and my question to him, my first question to him was, before we get into this, do you understand who God was talking to in the book of Malachi? And he said, yeah, he was talking to me. He was talking to us, the pastors, and I was so shocked. I mean, because when I wrote this book, it was like I was just believing God had just spoken to me. And I asked him, I said, how did you know that? He said, God told me. He said, I read my word, and it was revealed in the word. And I said, wow. He said, many of them know. And I'm not saying that to down pastors, but I'm saying that to let the people know. We need to know. God compels us to study. And it's not just to show yourself approved, but study so that you'll know your word when people approach you. You know, and with that, I mean, who better to compel you than God? God evidently knew that you would be deceived at some point. I mean, if you don't study, people can tell you anything. And you'll believe it because of their position or their status. And that's fine because, yes, we're supposed to have leaders to guide us in this heavenly world, you know, in our journey to God. But at the same time, when that leader teaches you, make sure you study to know that what he's teaching you is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, why did God give you a Bible? Why did God give you the ability to read that Bible? He wants you to know for yourself. And it's so important.
And I think that was real interesting what you said, and I'm glad you said it for those who are, you know, on the fence with what you're talking about, what we're talking about, who are scared to even involve themselves in this conversation. I mean, you know, even sitting down at the table with us, you know, there's some people, some pastors, some other fellow ministers that just won't do it. And God bless them that they won't, and we just hope God, you know, opens up their heart to be able to receive. But the fact that you said when you sat down with this brother, this man of God, he said, many of us know. I find that to be very, very intriguing because from what we have heard from over the past couple of weeks on the show, the appearance is that they don't know, or it can be inferred that they don't want to let it be known that they know. That opens up a whole other... another animal.
That's the key. They don't want to let it be known. I have a fear. And it's not that, I'm not going to say they want the people's money or they're trying to get rich. But what I do believe is that most people are in fear. We don't really know how to trust God. Yes, our pastors teach us to have faith and believe God. But what about telling us the truth and you believe in God?
You know what? And here's another interesting part. Nadia, you know, don't let me monopolize the conversation. You know, I'm glad you said, you know, it's not about them, you know, trying to take the people's money and do all of that. So that I thank God that you said that was in your heart and that was brought out. So, you know, here's the reality. The reality that we're dealing with as we deal with these not so pleasant conversations to some is that we just have to be real with this thing. We have to be real, and if we'll be real and others will be real, then people will see that realness. People will discern that realness in us, and then it won't be such this thing of not listening to God through us of what we're saying, And then at the same time, when God gives us revelation about something, we have an issue with the person that has been telling us all of our life that this is what you have to do. Let me give you a case in point. A few weeks ago, I was teaching a Sunday school class, and there was an older brother who we were talking about grace. I was teaching on the subject of grace and the law. And the subject of forgiveness came up in this conversation. And this brother, he has to be easy 65 years old, you know, done everything in the church. You know, he's also a minister, associate pastor, deacon, I don't know. But, you know, he's done it, and that's who he is. So there's a knowledge base there that, you know, there's no refuting that. And one of the comments that he made in our conversation during Sunday school was this: well, God, the Bible tells us to forgive and forget. And I said, I said, well, I don't know. I mean, I've never seen it in the Bible. You know, you hate to just shoot people down. That's not the godly way to do things. So, you know, I had to put it that way. I've never seen it. You know, I haven't read the Bible from front cover to the back cover. So, you know, maybe I just didn't see it. And then when he made the comment, well, you know, maybe it's not in there. That was then my opportunity to say, well, as you since you said that, it's not in there. The Bible says nowhere that you are to forgive and forget. And here's the thing. If you were to forgive and forget, then that would break down some of the testimonies you have about what God did in some of those unpleasant situations that is going on in your life. If you forgot about the people that hurt you, if you forgot about some of the things that you've done and God had showed some grace and mercy on you, what else do you have to talk about? So it just doesn't even seem logical, but the bottom line was it is not, and it was not actually in the Bible. And again, if I never would have said anything about that and taken us to that point of letting the people know in a kind and loving way that was among us that it's not in the Bible, you would have had them continuing on, right? Evidently, he's been doing it for the last 40, 50 years of his life. And then that means somebody else would have continued on with it for a whole long time period inside of their life as well. So that's what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you who are just tuning in, you're listening to the PRF Table. The title of tonight's show is The Miseducation of Malachi. We have Sister Sanders, and my name is Brother Dunlap. We also have our guest tonight, Sister Paula Brooks, the author of Stop Paying Tithes, and we've just been engaging in great conversation about the book of Malachi. So if you want to join into the conversation, you want to sit down at the table, press one of your dial pad, we'll bring you in. We also have a Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances, and we have a conversation that is going on there. So with that, I'll throw it back to you, Sister Sanders or Paula, whichever one y'all want to take it from there.
Well, I'm really having I've been enjoying the topic, and I've been enjoying the PRF table. I've been sharing with other people, and, you know, you can put things out there to kind of see where people are at, not that you're trying to pump them, not that you're trying to show them up, but really to challenge people, because we are so quick to say that we're Christians and that we're believers. But like you said, Nate, when we say, you know, say something, if you take one step, God will make two, and then think that that's in the Word of God, you know, I'm sitting here looking at you like, well, find it for me. And show me where that is in the Word of God so that I can see it, because I've not read that there before. I've never heard of it. I just want to touch on a comment that was made on my Facebook page. I had put on there because I really like the title, Stop Paying Tithes, because when people see it, the first thing that they say is, well, I pay my tithes because that's what God tells me to do. Is that what he told you to do? Tell me where it is in the Bible so that we can both see it together. And that is one of the things that is such a misconception, that the words that we use, and you touched on it earlier, Nate, and Paula touched on it on last week, is that the words that we use. And so we have to be very careful. But I would also challenge people that if something does not sound right, before we are so quick to to give a response. That's not right. And God said to do this and God said to do that. How about we seek the word of God and be able to give the scriptural text so that when people read what we're saying, that we can, we're open, because some, I think we can get so lost in what is being said, especially on our social media websites. We get so lost in what people say and we give a response and never find out, get more information or get more details. And I say that because I put on my Facebook about stop paying tithes. You know, if you're ready to stop paying your tithes, dial into this number so that you can hear the show. Just as an attention getter, and someone had commented on my page, they said, you know, well, we're supposed to pay our tithes. I said, are we? I said, you know, and they said that, you know, when I put the phone number on it, it sounded like a commercial. I said, well, you had to hear the show. And I encourage you to listen to what's being said before you comment on it or before you put your own spin on what you believe is being said, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent. And I think it's been very, very interesting to hear some of the comments and to receive the feedback of people who have been in church probably all of their lives but still may use this phrase or may know the right phrase but will be so quick to comment on what they think is right. And sometimes, you know, even as Christians, we have to be careful that when we say things that we don't, I guess, insult people's intelligence to think that they don't know what the right thing is. But I just find it very interesting, you know, the conversations that I've had with people. You know, I'll hear them, you know, when I'm just not even talking about the whole concept of tithing, but to hear people say, you know, well, I paid my tithes. And I just sit back and kind of chuckle, and I'm like, you know, Lord, I said, this is another opportunity for me to bless somebody with this book so they can stop paying their tithes, you know. But I'm just so thankful just for this platform, you know, and I really thank you, Paula. I do have a question that I wanted to ask, and I'm hoping that it's not that it's not redundant. But what I wanted to ask you was where's the chapter at? In the book I was reading, here it is. Let me find it. It says many believers pay tithes because they are taught to do so, and they never truly seen the windows of heaven open up, as Malachi 3:10 says. Why? I know you were saying that, you know, when you had the meeting with the pastor who understood, because it was revealed to him through his studying and through the Holy Spirit just revealing to him who Malachi was talking to. Why is the word paying tithes still, why do you think it's still being used in our churches today to where, I mean, I don't know how many thousands of years ago this, you know, Malachi, the book of Malachi was written, but why do you think that word paying tithes is still being used today?
I believe it was taught, and when it's something that's taught rhetorically, it gets embedded in your mind, and you unknowingly just say, I got to pay my tithes. Or mm-hmm. even among pastors, you know, maybe they don't understand the proper usage of words and how words impact our lives. I believe that a lot of them do, but I don't think the importance of how valid that word is really registers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we kind of, I know I did it for so long. I made paying synonymous with giving.
Mm-hmm.
So,
good point.
Until I was made aware by the Holy Spirit that mm-hmm. that was improper, I would probably still be using that word because I'm a mother. But the fact remains, we have to be careful with the words that we use. You know, my daughter so often when she gets angry about something, she'll say, "I hate that." And I have to remind her, that's a very strong word. Let's say I don't like that, you know, because words become things. Words become manifest in our lives. And if I continue to allow her to say, "I hate that, I hate that, I hate that," when I know better, hate will become embedded in her, and she won't even realize why. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with the tithe. You know, I met a lady, I may have mentioned it last week. I was in Office Depot getting some cards printed, and I had on my T-shirt that advertises my book and Stop Paying Tithes on the back. And this lady, she came up to me, and it was funny because she was Caucasian, and I really just thought that the tithe was prevalent in the black church. But she said, "What does that mean, stop paying tithes?" Mm. And as I began to explain to her, she instantly rebuked me before I could even explain to her that, "Ma'am, I'm not saying don't tithe. I'm saying don't pay. Instead, let's think about giving." She just totally, "Get away from me, God. Forgive you because you're the devil." And I was like, "Oh my goodness."
Now that's deception. That is deception in its finest, that you can't even receive what somebody's saying. And I'm sorry, that is just, wow.
That's okay. But the funny thing was, you know, as I said to her, I said, "Ma'am, you know, I apologize that you're offended, but you asked me a question and I'm only trying to answer you." So at that point, she didn't even want to hear it. And it was just funny to me. But on another occasion, you spoke about the windows of heaven being open, and I believe that people don't understand that when God opens the windows of heaven, he literally pours you out a blessing that's just too big for you. As I mentioned on last week, he made me a million. I think I was 20, 22 years old, maybe somewhere between 22 and 23, and I just couldn't handle it. It was too much. But at the same time, That was proof positive that God is true to his word. Now, while he was talking to the pastors, we have to understand that the blessings of God flow downward. Mm-hmm. And with my understanding being that I was cheerfully given, I knew that me becoming a millionaire was a result of my giving to God, because he wouldn't dare outlet me give him, and I was so happy about it. He had to be happy about giving to me too, so he blessed me real large. But at the same time, you know, people are blessed, and they think that it's a result of their tithes, and really it's not. It's just God loving on you. I was giving out some books one day at a cookout that I went to, and this one lady says, "Oh no, don't give that to me. I don't want that. You're trying to stop my blessing." And I said, "Ma'am, no, I'm actually not. I tell y'all, some of these things I encounter just so funny to me. I said, I'm really not. I'm trying to get some blessings to you." And she said, "Oh, wait, let me tell you." And she went on to tell me her testimony. And she said, "Let me tell you, I didn't have no money, and I had $10 in my pocket, and I gave them $10 to the church, and I didn't have no money to pay my light bill, and my neighbor knocked on my door and paid my light bill." And so I said to her, I said, "Well, listen, according to the book of Malachi, that big blessing that God is supposed to pour you out, you're supposed to be paying your neighbor light bill because you got so much. Make me understand how these small blessings is God opening up his windows." That's not what I read. I read he'll pour you out a blessing too big for you to handle. And she understood what I was saying at that point, you know, but I think if we really study as God compels us to, we will see that, yes, God blesses us. He blesses us all the time, and it's because he loves us. But the blessing that he was talking about in Malachi, that's that Oprah Winfrey blessing. Where everybody's living good.
Wow. Well, hey, y'all, we have a caller. Y'all have struck up somebody that wants to sit at the table with us. So let's go and see what the caller has a question or comment about. So we're calling from 3032. Sorry, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. First of all, I'm on the air with my sister,
and say hello.
Hi.
And we just we are actually enjoying the show tonight. It's powerful education. Powerful, powerful revelation. Matter of fact, I'm writing some stuff down. I said I gotta get the book and I gotta read Malachi tonight. You know, so I'm doing all this in my head because I do believe in myself approved. I just want to tell you, woman of God, as a writer myself, I just want to tell you to continue to go with God, continue to educate, because this book is a ministry. And not only are you blessing other people who don't know, but you're blessing kingdom. So I want to encourage you. I know you gave your testimony about the lady who really couldn't receive you, but you, I just had to make a comment because I'm known to talk a lot. My sister nudging me now, but I just want to encourage you. I feel a need in my heart to encourage you, to tell you to continue to go and do what God has told you to do and be a blessing to kingdom, because it's truly, I know when you said you began the book, it was something that you did for yourself. But this is not about you, and I know you know that, but you are blessing the kingdom of God. So I just want to encourage you, Minister Dunlap, bless you. Continue to do what you do, you and your staff. Continue to do what you do, and you all are in my prayers. Be encouraged.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate you. And I'll make sure that you get a copy of the book, my sister, all right?
I have to say thank you to that sister, and your words are so very encouraging. I truly needed that. I'm a talker as well, but it's kind of scary bringing forth the word that God has shared with me because it's so contrary to what people have been taught, you know. But what I do know is me plus God is the majority.
Thank you. And this is what I'll say, and we're going to go take a quick break after I make this comment, and then we'll be joined by Brother Feaster. Sister, you just said it's scary talking about stuff like this, but can you imagine how scary Malachi must have felt saying this to the
priest? Wow. Oh, my God.
So with that, we're going to let everybody marinate on that comment. We're going to take a quick break. Let this song play. We're talking about resources and finances. You're listening to the PRF Table. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Yo, Rockin', what's up? Yo, I'm doing the knowledge, E, man. I'm trying to get paid in full. Well, check this out. Because Zobi Walker is our agency, right?
True.
Kara Lewis is our agent.
Word up.
Zakiya and Forth and Broadway is our record company.
Indeed.
Okay, so who we rolling with then?
We rolling with Rush.
Rush Town Management. Check this out. Since we're talking over this deaf beat right here that I put together, I want to hear some of them deaf rhymes. You know what I'm saying? And together, we can get paid and paid
full,
and paid.
Full,
and paid
full,
and
paid full. Thinking of a master plan. Cause ain't nothing but sweat inside my hands. So I dig into my pocket, all my money spent. So I get deeper, but still coming up for lunch. So I start my mission, leave my residence. Thinking how could I get some dead presidents? I need money. I used to be a stick up kid. So I think of all the devious things I did. I used to roll up, this is a hole up. Ain't nothing funny, stop smiling. You still don't nothing move but the money. But now I learn to earn cause I'm righteous. I feel great, so maybe I might just search for a 9 to 5. If I thrive, then maybe I'll stay alive. So I walk up the street, whistling this, feeling out of place, cause man, do I miss a pen and a paper, a stereo, a taper, me and Eric being a nice big plate of fish, which is my favorite dish, but without no money, it's still a wish. Cause I don't like to dream about getting paid, so I dig into the books of the rhymes that I made. Soon as I test to see if I got pulled, hit the studio, cause I'm paid in full. Hakim, check this out. Yo, you go to your girl's house and I go to mine, cause my girl is definitely mad cause it took us too long to do this album. Yo, I hear what you're saying, so let's just pump the music up and count our money.
Yo, but check this out, yo, Eli. Turn the bass down and just let the beat keep on rocking.
And we out of here.
Yo, what happened to Peace?
Peace.
Conversation that I've been peeking on the back end of this. How's everybody doing?
Bro, we're doing good, man. We're doing good. We're glad you can finally join us.
Outstanding. Man, I'll tell you what, I had to work late. Sorry for being late. I was listening for a little while, and I'll tell you what, it's just been interesting. Just hearing and learning and everything that's going on, it's just been great. I had to do my homework and had to catch up and read about old Malachi. And honestly, I could have put the Bible down after I read the actual first verse. And it kind of ties into what you said at the end, JR, before we went to break. You said that you wonder how Malachi felt when God told him to write this. And the first thing I read, and I read Malachi a couple of times, and especially chapter 3, but when I started reading it this morning, verse 1 says of Malachi, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. And that just ties in exactly to what you're saying, because it just shows you that, and as I reread the book of Malachi, it just shows you that this was not a great time. This was not something to be praiseworthy of. This was not something that God was happy about. The Bible says it was a burden. God wanted this message to get out. And the more we talk about tithing, the more I tied into stewardship and love. Because how can we say that God is love and God is the creator of all things and, you know, God is all these miraculous things, but then, you know, we turn around and say God values our money over us, you know, his prized creation. And I really, really believe that when we get an understanding of who God is and how much he loves us, you know, tithing is not about just money. You know, the question I asked a couple of weeks ago, you know, what about the person that doesn't have a job? What about the child who is a lover of Jesus Christ, a follower of the word of God, and has no job? So if the tithing was all about money, then how is that? But it's all about the heart. It's all about the attitude. It's all about how we approach it, how we come into it, how we, you know, bring it to God, how we bring it to God. And, JR, you asked a question a couple of weeks ago, and it's just been resounding within my head. The question was, are you tithing or are you giving a tenth?
Mm-hmm.
And I really, yeah, and that it's just been ringing in my head over and over and over and over and over again. And I really hope that, you know I'm getting understanding, and I hope others are. And I just thank God for you, Sister Paula, for writing the book. I can't wait to read the book. JR, I thank God for you just being a servant of God and allowing God to use you in there. And Adia, you know how much I love your passion and your desire. So I'm not going to take up all the airwaves since I took that back on, and I'm excited. I'm just going to say thank you for allowing me to come in and be here again today, and I'm ready.
All right.
Nate,
go ahead, Paula. I was about to throw it back at you, Paula. Go ahead.
This is Adia. I just had one thing. I took the liberty of looking up the word pay, you know, and I just wanted to read this just so that people can understand, so that we can understand what the word pay means. The first definition, well, first is a verb, so it's an action. That means that we're having to do something. But the word pay means to give money to in return for goods or services rendered, to give money in exchange for goods or services, to discharge or settle a debt or obligation. And so if I had to ask a question, it would be, to all of us, how much of our money could we ever give God for the blessings that he's given us? How much of our money could we ever give God in exchange for the blessings that he's given us? We can't even pay God for allowing us to breathe oxygen. So how much money could we actually give? Can we pay God? Let me use the right word, not give. How much money could we actually pay God? And I just want to take note that in this definition, it says to give money to in return for good. How much money can we actually pay God to settle the debt of his only son dying on the cross for us? This, folks, is why we do not pay God anything. This is why we give, because we would never, ever be able to pay God for all that he has done. And the old, like the old song says, you can't beat God's giving. We cannot ever pay God for everything that he's done. No amount of money, no sacrifice, because his son was the ultimate sacrifice. So I just wanted to share that with the listeners on the line to just kind of challenge us to understand the power that words have and why we have to be careful about how we use them in relation to God. And that's all I wanted to say, Nate.
Hey, JR.
Go ahead, brother.
I was thinking about this as Sadia said that. How much does salvation cost? I mean, that's the answer, Adia. How much does salvation cost? And if we search the scriptures, we know salvation costs it costs a perfect and sinless life. Then the next question is, well, how much do we have to pay? So, when we use the word pay, it seems as if we have a job. And this is services rendered, you know, and it takes, something that we've been talking about last week, and as I was listening before I came in, you know, simple terminology, simple way we say things changes our mentality on how we feel about a thing. And the Bible speaks about it all the time. It talks about watch your heart, watch your mind, when it talks about be careful what you say, because words are power, words are life. And a lot of people are getting caught up thinking that we're saying don't give your tithes. We're not saying don't. We're saying just that, give your tithes, but don't pay your tithes. And tithes are not just money, you know. When are we going to realize, or when are we going to start talking about, or when is it going to be part of the common discussion when we talk about tithing and we talk about our talents? Well, you that are an administrator, when are you administrating for God? You that are a helper, when are you helping for God? You that are a singer, when are you singing for God? You that are a writer, when are you writing for God? These are all tithes also. And I'm going to stop right there.
And let me say this. I think that's going to be a good segue into next week's show, because what I'm feeling is, you know, when we go back and we look at what God was saying, what Malachi was saying, if you look, go back and look at chapter 10, and Paula, please, you know, jump in on this. When it says, bring all the tithes to the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. The food wasn't for the priests. The food was for the people. So what was being brought in was not for the leaders. It was for the people. And so I think when we get together next week, I'm really feeling that we're really going to start talking about what you said, Brother Feaster. What is it that we're tithing? I think it's going to be a sore subject to some, and it's going to be liberating to others. Because if I stand behind the pulpit and say, tithing is not money, you don't have to give 10% of your money. But see, when you say that, you have to do like Pastor Sherrod did. You have to be willing to have some session, be able to bring the people together, talk to the people in, and let them ask questions and talk about it. Just like God did with the children of Israel back in the Old Testament before they entered into the Promised Land. This law of tithing, God gave it to them over and over. He didn't wait until they got into the Promised Land and then said, now you have to go by and abide by this law of tithing. That's the same way Christians are being jacked up every day in this country, every Sunday, because they come into this fold of Christianity and they believe that they have to tithe. But ain't nobody told them nothing. Ain't nobody told them, Jack. So now what we're doing with the PRF table and anything else, what we are now doing are going backwards. The cart was put before the horse, so now we're trying to put the horse back in front of the cart. I'm going to Paula, go ahead and go ahead and give your closing remarks, because we can be here for about another hour, but we're going to come back and we're going to deal with this again next week, because I just believe that's what God wants us to do.
Well, Brother Dunlop, it appears every time someone speaks, they speak in what I'm thinking. And, you know, the tithe was not for the priests, although they were taking a portion, and I'm sure that's why, because it wasn't for them. So it was taking a part off the top. But the thing about it is, today, I think Sister Adia mentioned earlier, she asked the question as to why we still pay or something to that effect. But the thing about it is, I remember saying that the pastors are even fearful, because I'm sure they're wondering, okay, if the people don't tithe, how will the church's bills get paid? But once again, as you just mentioned, the tithe wasn't for the church's bills, although it's necessary today. But the tithe was for the widow and the fatherless and those who were poor and impoverished.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that anything is wrong today. Matter of fact, sometimes I do it. If I see someone with a need, I'll give my tithe to that person, because I'm sure they can use it a lot better than our Lord's congregation could. And I don't have a problem with tithing to my church either. But if I see a need, I try and meet it, because as the Bible says, when I was poor, did you feed me? When I was in jail, did you come to see me? And we have to remember that God dwells in each and every one of us. So when we give to one another, we're actually giving to God anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay to plant your tithe into the life of that person who needs you. And as Brother Feaster said, your tithe is not always money. Sometimes somebody might just need you to sit with them and pray with them in the hospital. I mean, that's a portion of your time. So God acknowledges anything that we give from our hearts.
Well, Paula, we thank you so much, and you are welcome to come back and sit with us again at the table next week if you want to join back in this conversation with us. We would love to have you. We're just going to do what God wants us to do. We want people to be blessed. We want people to be set free. So we thank everybody for listening. Thank you for just sitting at the table. Thank our callers for listening, whether you're on the internet or by radio or by telephone. And go to the Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances. We'll be continuing the conversation after the show goes off. And we're going to end with this song. It's called That's the Way of the World. We have to get away from being of the world, even within Christianity. You think because we're Christians that we don't act in a worldly way, but if we're being in a mindset of miseducation, then that is just the way of the world. So we're going to talk to you later. We'll see you next week. God bless you. We love you, and have a wonderful night.
Wonderful, and I love you all. Bye-bye.
dog.